Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hello.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Happy Wednesday, all. It's nice to see all your faces.
Nice to see your face.
Okay.
It's been a minute since we've had, you know, everyone. Leah, she was going to read it, and then she lost track of days and forgot to read it.
Oops.
Well, her kids have 2 days off tomorrow and Friday for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
And so she, like, she just forgot what day of the week
her week
was.
Is all screwed up.
It is. It so is, which we all can relate, right? Like,
yeah, you know, sure.
Routine gets messed up, then things fall off. So I've been calling this month of October out of this world because I have no other way to describe all of the chaotic books that we are reading this month.
I think it's a good month. I don't know. It doesn't feel chaotic to me.
It is a good month. It is absolutely pulling, I think mostly Jenny and I, out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of you, you know, I always read the fun, cute monster e-romances or the sentimental item romances from like Vera Valentine, but I don't dig into the whole out of this world, paranormal, alien fantasy phase, which is I don't typically read that stuff, but with this being October and spooky season, you know, I was kind of like, hey, let's do it, let's push some boundaries, right?
Yeah
And Amanda's like, yes
I know, I'm gonna make you all
this is her
this
jam
book. I was like, I'm gonna make you all read this book.
Well, some of this is her jam, but Amanda, you're not a huge alien romance reader, right?
I read it. I just, there's like, I read mostly, I think, Anna Hackett's Aliens. I just haven't like veered off too far into others. So I am actually excited because I haven't read the Zoe Draven or the January Bell. So those are new to me. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay just is reading them all. And if she could have more, she would be happy.
I'm chaos when it comes to paranormal. I go through like paranormal binges. Like, this has been bad for me because it's like, oh, let me just download 30 paranormal books, and yeah, I need to get things done other than just read.
fair
bummer. But Zoe Draven, I'm really excited for Zoe Draven next week because like Juliet Cross, she does a lot of like partnership and fandom for Zoe Draven, so I read her before and I really like her books.
Lots of people just love Zoe Draven, like constantly, you will see like on threads, on Instagram, on TikTok, people constantly talking about Zoe Draven, and I'm excited for it. I think it'll be really fun. And we all know that Heather, if she could find an alien husband, she 100%. Would leave Minnesota. She's going to not Hoth.
So my first like dive into it, really, like when I first started reading, I was reading Shifters, had no idea what it was. And then I read the Ice Planet Barbarians, like everyone. And then I just stumbled on Zoe Draven. And I was like, who is this? And she has this giant following, which I had no idea. But it's so good.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting month. I'm super excited about it. So let's get into the very first pick, which I do want to caveat. I believe this is one of the books that Amanda will accept no criticism of.
This is true.
Nothing.
And I just say it now because I can't be on that episode. So
nothing we say matters because this is Amanda's like holy grail, leave it the F alone books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this series. So I've read, reread, listened, whatever you want to do. This is like one of those, like if I don't know what to read and I need like I need something to make me happy, I'll read the series. So
fair, fair. So on this episode, we are reading Feral Sins by Suzanne Wright. This is book one in the Phoenix Pack series. Who wants to tell us all the things?
I can do it.
Okay, yeah, go for it, ahead, Amanda.
Okay. Release date is February 19th, 2013. So this is an older book, and I do believe this was her first Shifter book. I would have to double check, but I think so. The subgenre is paranormal, shifter romance tropes are rivals to lovers, alpha hero, sassy heroine. The name of the series is the Phoenix Pack. These are interconnected standalones. This is in third person, multi POV for like the first part, and then it kind of dwindles down to like the two main characters POV. Put out percentage is 18%, so it pops pretty early. It pops often.
They are horny as fuck, people.
They
For
are.
like
They
whole
really are.
Yeah, yeah,
These
yeah. I
people
know.
cannot get enough. Anyway, I'll
Yeah.
talk about that in the episode because there's a whole thing where he's like, I'm gonna be hands off. He
Yeah.
cannot do it.
No, it doesn't last long.
Oh.
The audio narrator is Jill Redfield. It's a single narrator. And this is available in Kindle Unlimited. It's read and listen in Kindle Unlimited.
So I
So.
do want to comment on the narrator. She does a phenomenal job. Like, I did not realize that it was only one narrator until I went and put the doc together and I listened to the whole audiobook. She does a dude voice incredibly well.
Yeah, she really does. I was really impressed. I didn't actually listen to that until this year, so I'd only read it previously, so I really liked it. I think she narrates all of them
Yeah.
in the series.
I thought she was exceptional. Did anybody else listen to the audio?
I
I did.
did too.
This was a reread for me, and it's been a while since I've read it, but I'd never listened to the audio, and it was really good. I actually enjoyed it because she's a slower talker, and like I've talked about before, I listen at real speed, which is long. So it was like 13 hours for me, but it like really, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I could bump it. I normally am a like 1.0 speed also, but I could bump this up to like 1.2 and not be lost given that I've never read this book.
Yeah. I thought she was truly a storyteller, which helps in third person when you have
Yeah.
someone that's a storyteller because she put emphasis where emphasis needed to be. You felt in the moment her voice changed and gave emotion when it needed to. When it was descriptive, it pulled back, but it didn't feel automated or scripted.
Yeah,
So
I would agree.
I really enjoyed the audiobook. Okay, so let's start off with Taryn, right? It's Taryn. Yes,
Karen,
Taryn.
Karen.
Taryn Warner. She is our heroine. She has great personality in this book.
Oh,
Yeah.
she has a giant personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the sass coming off this lady, like.
Yeah, she's like a
She's
true alpha female.
yeah.
Like she's like, if you read a lot of shifter books, like I mean, she is like that personality.
Yeah. She I think is girl crush material with how
Oh
she
yeah. Oh yeah.
just backbone says it like it is, takes what she wants, pushes her boundaries. I love that she calls him Fred Flintstone because they live in the caves.
Right.
The
Bedrock.
The
Yeah.
bedrock, like
Yeah.
I was dying. I'm like, yeah, got it, friend. Totally.
She is not a person who is like, there's no putting her in the corner. You don't get to tell her what to do. Like I love her. How people try to tell her what to do, and she's like, basically F you. I don't know who the hell you
Right.
think
I'm
you
gonna
are.
break your nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the
Oh
break your nose thing. And I
yeah.
also really love how she handles Greta the whole in the book.
Yes.
Like, that is fantastic. I love what one of the insults was like,
So
you
many
have
good
to
ones.
screw your head on because of all your wrinkles or something like
Yeah.
that.
Well,
Like, oh my God, I just love their banter. It was
and at one point
yeah.
she says it's
So good.
fine because I'm not gonna have to put up with you very long because aren't you dying?
Yeah.
Like, she's just like,
Yeah.
put the old lady in the home. Like,
Yeah.
I think she
Can you
threatened to
just pull
kennel
your
her at
lip?
one point or something.
I think she
Yeah.
said, like, pull your lip over your head and
Yeah, she
swallow
swallowed.
or something. She has the best one-liners.
Yeah.
Well, she
Yeah, the
really
banter is epic.
she does. So in the book, okay, so this is I'm sorry, Amanda. This is one of my issues.
That's
As
fine.
someone that doesn't read this subgenre, I do find it a little hard to understand the lay of the land because there's not a rule one rule across all genres, right?
Yeah, typically not.
Like, I mean, the basics are there. Like, we know there's alpha. I realized very quickly, you know, they explained that the beta is the second in command, like A to B, which is different than contemporary. But we start off this book right with a bam with the author saying that Taryn is latent. But as someone that never reads paranormal, it took me a very long time to figure out exactly what that meant. Like, you know, basically she's never shifted.
Yeah, and I can see that because, I mean, like I said, I didn't think about it like until you brought it up, but I read a lot of paranormal and I've read the series I don't know how many times. But yeah, I mean, I can see that because it doesn't really get explained until later. So, I mean, I understand that. It's not like a...
But it wasn't necessarily like across the genre because I Googled it. Yeah. I was like, in PNR werewolf shifters, what does latent mean? And basically I got, like, they're late. Like, and I'm like, that was not helpful. Late what? No. On time?
Not a word wise it in your Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just click the word and then
it just took me a minute. And again, because I'm not as familiar in this, it wasn't just automatic. I knew. Yeah. Like, if you say a witch and she lives in a coven, I understand what we're talking about, right? Like, I know the wolves live in packs, but I didn't understand this, like, basic terminology. The other terminology I thought was funny, because I do not believe that Carrie Ann Ryan uses it, the fact that they refer to babies as pups.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that before.
I went looking. I think the only PNR wolf shifter that I had read, other than the one Juliet Cross book, was Carrie Ann Ryan's Aspen Pack. That's my space of reference.
Oh, I haven't read a ton, but I have read that.
So
I just, yeah, I mean, and I get it.
Yeah, but I think they call them pups even in Twilight.
Okay.
Oh, they do.
There's a.
That's not exactly the crowning literary guideline that any of us should be using. Okay. Well, again,
that's my, like, I don't have a lot to work. That's Jenny's
reference.
Yeah.
Okay, so Taryn, she's sassy, she's strong, alpha. I hate her dad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody does.
You know, and I was really glad that we didn't have other man drama, and they quickly killed off the one dude.
Roscoe.
Yeah.
I like
that. Renamed him Ralph because I thought he was dumb. So
either one works.
Yeah, I liked that she took care of that early on because there's a lot of politics with these books. It's very much like a paranormal version of Mafia because there's like the pack dynamics, the different things, the hierarchy, the leader, the respect, oftentimes like the way the relationships work with women in particular, like a lot of parallels to Mafia. But I really like that they cut that off early on because there's a lot that happens. There was a lot that was set up early on. But then I also like how, even though she was in the situation because of her father, like she doesn't just idle or let things happen to her, even though she is treated fairly poorly by a lot of wolves in the book because of her being latent. Even though she's a very powerful healer. So it's like an interesting dichotomy where it's like convenient to need her, but they don't overall treat her well. Yet her power is so sought after that her dad was trying to negotiate to keep her as a healer, even, you know.
Yeah.
Even when he didn't realize she was that powerful of an alpha. Like, he doesn't know until she's already gone and she makes the display in the diner. And he was like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, well, you didn't deserve to know.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
Yeah, and how he was just so willing to, like, give her, like, I think that Suzanne does a really great job, if you aren't familiar with PNR, is, like, the connection that shifters, that, like, how they, you know, are, like, fated mates, basically. Like, I think she does a really great job of explaining that.
So I have a question about that, again, because not my genre. So would you have classified this book as Fated Mates? Because it typically is different, right? Like a Fated Mate is like a stronger pull. I mean,
in her books, like, so in her, and you'll find this in all of the rest of them, some of the couples imprint or whatever, but the Fated Mates, so she has, the way her world is set up is like the mating bond can be blocked by like internal or, you know, something that you're holding back. So they're fated, but unless you're fully like open to the other person, like the bond is not going to snap into place. So it's like, this is her version of Fated Mates. Like it doesn't always work that way, but so hers is unique this way. I don't know another PNR world that's set up like that.
Cause
what I mean is how she like describes the connection. It's almost like they don't have, as soon as they're open to it, then they don't really have sort of control over
that. It felt like the relationship had tiers and that's the same for everybody when they go into a relationship. It's tiered.
Yeah, because you can mate with somebody that's not your true mate.
Yeah, you can imprint. Yeah, which is what she calls it. And you get some couples that do that later. Even you'll find like a rejected mate in one of them, like in one of the later books, like they've rejected their mate so they can imprint with other people. But yeah, so it's not like that. It's not like that, like where it's only your fated person. So I guess you could argue that maybe it's not like fated mates, like you've read it before.
Okay.
It's a mating of convenience.
It is.
Of convenience.
Yeah, I label it a marriage of convenience and like almost like a fake relationship.
Sure.
Like when I hurt,
That I would say this is absolutely a marriage of convenience. And I didn't even think about that part because
me either.
There's not really a marriage until later on when they have their bonding ceremony, which was in the epilogue, correct?
It's a chapter.
Oh, is it a chapter? Okay, well, so just so you know, in the audiobook, she does not announce chapters.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that's right. And I think that happens a lot of times with third person.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Nora Roberts, like when I would listen to those, they don't have chapters.
There were no chapters. So it was just, it really was great, actually, because it felt like one long podcast.
Yeah, it sort of felt like someone was just telling you, which I'm going to tell you, this is a beefy book.
It didn't feel beefy, though.
No, but I was listening, and then I was like, oh my God, I don't have like 8 hours left. You know what I mean? So I like had to eyeball read it.
In this book, there is a lot of world building. It is the first book in a series.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people to remember. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't remember them outside of Trey, Taryn, and Greta. But there were like tons of characters.
There's a cast of characters at the back book.
And how often did you have to use it?
Oh, I didn't use it. I just was like, oh, I'll figure out where you
I couldn't keep
some.
Straight, like, who was her bodyguard? Who was the beta? Who was the guy at the gate? Who was the guy here? I really liked the girl that did all the cooking.
Grace.
I thought she was great. She was a great character, but she has a mate, so she probably doesn't have a book, right?
No, she doesn't, but she appears in all the other books.
Yeah, like I liked her, but again, like I don't know. There were some interesting things. Oh, so let's talk about Trey before I get into the interesting things in the world building. He was definitely an alpha, but I don't think he was an alpha hole. Like he tried to be. But he was a little unsuccessful.
Yeah, I think he's just, you know, he's kind of unhinged. Like the unhinged alpha, I guess, is because he has the whole feral side.
Because he's soft for her. Like it's that microtrope. Like he is a jackass to everybody.
And everybody's afraid of him. Like everybody outside of his pack is like, they're all like. Like he's like unstable. Like
and she's...
Yeah, I like how she calls him Psycho Boy.
Yeah.
At the beginning, she's just like, okay, Psycho Boy.
Well, and Dante is really not afraid of him either, which is Dante is his beta.
Yeah, none of his pack are afraid of him. But yeah, but everybody else, like everybody outside that pack is like, okay, you're crazy. He's like, he's nuts.
I really liked his character though. I thought it was a really, it was for being an alpha, for having the alpha hole tendencies. I really feel like Suzanne Wright gave him a really great character arc.
Yeah, and the majority of her, like in her, like in her other series, like he, like Nick is the alpha of the other series, like which you meet him in this book. They're all kind of like that. She also has a demon series, and like the lead in that series, Nox, is a similar kind of, you know, different, but she likes that like alpha hole, but not an alpha hole kind of thing.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me a little bit of an Aurora Rose Reynolds contemporary hero.
Yeah, so you know I have a type.
Yeah.
So,
Manta. Manta likes him a little bit of an asshole, but super soft for their lady.
He definitely could be like a mafia boss. I think
Oh,
Lindsay's completely right. This is like definitely like mafia.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
agree.
that was a really
That's
good parallel. I never would have thought of it.
I didn't think about, but the way the pact works and the family and how you function outside and the
Like
secrecy.
seeing a throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting was the running when they shift into their wolves and then run through the woods and she ran as a human with them. I thought that was really interesting. I felt like we got quite a bit of emotion in those moments.
Yeah, the pack runs are really good.
I also really like how they kind of took her as like the alpha female. So like they're very affectionate with her, and she's sort of like they seek comfort almost in her. And it's just interesting how they like are also just naturally protective of her.
Yeah,
Like,
like nipping at her jaw, licking at her, seeking, her to touch them and stuff like that. But then there's Trey, who's like literally coming out of his fur to like bite their faces off. He's a little crazy though. Psycho Boy does make a whole lot of sense for him.
Yeah, major touch her and die vibes. Like almost like don't look at her, and I'll kill you. Like,
Yeah. So we have some mean girls in this book.
Oh
And
yeah.
she finds mean girls like in her own pack, but then
Yeah.
also in this pack. And no offense, I thought she had shitty friends.
Yeah, I would
Yeah.
agree.
Shaya and Caleb.
Yeah.
Shaya.
I
Yeah,
don't
I said that
know.
wrong.
They
Yeah.
needed to die. I did not like them.
I wouldn't say that, but
I mean,
they were pretty bad.
maybe they'll chase a
Especially
car
like
and just run away forever.
when he was like, oh, who says I wouldn't like you like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Dude,
they're
your
very resistant, but I think also
train has
too,
left the
it's
station.
I think it's also too because they put such an emphasis on like the fact that, that Joey was supposed to be her true mate.
Yeah.
So it's
Well,
like
in
they think
his.
she's shitting on his memory, I guess. Oh, sorry,
Yeah.
I'm probably not supposed to say that.
And then his true mate, she was a pup, like a baby. Like that was weird. That was weird. I thought, huh. So, in this world, if they're pups and their pregnancy is shorter than a normal human pregnancy, do they age quicker too, like a dog? See, these are questions I have, and nothing explains them.
I got some
I'm
questions
gonna I'm just
too.
trying to remember like I because you see Kai, which is her son, so you see him throughout the series, and I'm trying to remember because and I'm confusing it because she has a demon series and those babies do age faster. So I'm trying to remember if it's the same in this one and I forget.
It was one of those things, like, your dog for every human year ages 7 years based on how long gestation is and
I think he might. I think it might. And I can't remember exactly, so I would have to go to the later books and
do
tell
you know how
you.
easy the toddler years would have been if it only
Right. I
lasted
was
like
like,
3
that could
months?
be beneficial.
Yeah, it definitely is that way in her demon books. Like he ages exponentially.
Heather's over there like, why do you even think about this stuff? Are you
Well, I
ridiculous?
never even considered it. It wasn't even like a thought, but I mean, I thought it was interesting how that nobody else in the pack could have a baby until the alphas could. I thought that was interesting.
But I've read that in other books.
Can they not, like, they can physically not, or they have to,
like, what happens if there's an accident?
Yeah.
Also,
I think it's,
do they ever have sex in their wolf forms?
Do they have what?
Sex in their wolf forms? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because you can choose in the mating ceremony to either mate as humans or wolves afterwards.
So everyone can watch.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, every once in a while, Ollie gives us a show in the living room, and I ask him to stop. It's not something I want to watch.
Yeah. It's no less bonkers than some of the stuff in the Mafia books.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I just read the New Lane Hart, and there's two of them, so it's fine. It's
a different kind of bonkers.
Yeah, if you ever want me to read something that I'm not totally okay with reading in a contemporary, just tell me it's in a paranormal, and it's fine.
I do think like the aging thing comes into play with paranormals a little bit, because usually wolf shifters don't have the longevity of other paranormals. Like usually, like witches, it seems like most of them, they have a lot, like a much longer lifespan.
Like hundreds, vampires live hundreds of years.
Like the wolf shifters, there's definitely like an aging component. There's more like death and trauma.
And I will say she keeps her paranormals separate. So she has her shifters, like her animal shifters, and then she has a demon series, and then she has a vampire series, and they don't really cross, other than like some people know of like the main guy in her demon series. Like you'll get a lot of people who will cross, like they'll have the series will have a lot of the different like paranormals in it. She doesn't really do that.
Okay.
So she has her own little, you know, world and rules for each separate.
I thought the wolf shifter version of LinkedIn was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like the alpha map, like your pack map or whatever it was. Pack book. I don't know what it was called.
PackNet.
Yeah.
I really like that it highlighted just how smart she was, and like how she was truly like working to make the Phoenix pack better. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, even though her dad's pack shunned her and she had like originally went into this pack thinking I'm not going to be here long, she still wanted the best for that pack. You know what I mean? Like she cared about the people. And so she comes across kind of snarky and whatever, but she really is like caring.
So first time reading it, who guessed the bad guy? Because I'm not going to lie, I did not.
I did not either.
Did not guess the bad guy.
It was set up for a different bad guy. I felt like they set it up for it to be a different bad guy. So it was easy to be surprised.
Yeah. I didn't like that they killed her bird.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that.
You really didn't enjoy that, did you?
I really didn't. I mean, death to all birds, but also, like, there was a bird in it. Like, I don't know. Just.
I'm not a huge bird fan. And so then here's what I did. I was stupid and I went ahead and because I was like, I want to know whose books are next, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm listening and I'm looking at who's next. And so then I see that there's a bird, and so then I know that ties in, and so then I was like, ooh! And I don't like birds, they're not my thing. I'm like definitely afraid of them, and so I was sort of like torn on how I felt about it.
That's my least favorite book in this series, is that one. It's Tao and Ivy, I think, and she's a raven shifter.
Okay.
There's a couple things she brought up in the book, and I was like,
I got
a
whole other set of questions.
Yeah.
Birds are not mammals.
I know. They have snake shifters. In her Olympus Pride, there's a black mamba shifter. Like she goes all over the place.
Speaking of this book, he did not have any penis special powers.
No, they don't.
Well, and someone's like, oh, nodding. And I'm like, there was no fucking nodding in this. It was normal PV kind of movement.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was nothing special. I was a little disappointed in the lack of special penis stuff.
And I think only because, and well, I mean, she doesn't do it now either, but I mean, it is 2013. I don't know when did the whole nodding thing like start? I don't know.
I think that's just part of...
It's always been around?
Yeah, okay. I think that's just a part of PNR.
I don't know about that. I think it's spotty, and then it became more standard with like Kindle Unlimited.
No. Okay. I don't know, because even if you look at like the Van Helsing lore, there was like mating ceremonies, mating rituals in that first time.
Yeah.
I mean, because I do feel like, so that would be great for me as someone who doesn't read this very often and doesn't understand, you know, because each book author has their lore. If we could just use the Van Helsing lore of werewolves and vampires and nobody sparkles or is stupid, that would be really helpful for me. Just so we're all clear.
Stacy or Stassi? Mm-hmm.
Stacy.
She says most of hers have nodding. I have not read a ton of the only nodding that I've ever read is male.
I haven't read, I think I've only read one, but I tend to read a lot of PNR like Suzanne Wright and similar like authors like that.
A lot with nodding. It's almost standard unless an author, I really think like if it's an author who writes like prior to like substantially prior to Kindle Unlimited, like their lore is a little bit different. But I do think like with Kindle Unlimited that like I would say like in the mid 2000s.
I do think nodding came out, I think it was more standard in Omegaverse, and I think that some of the PNR kind of incorporated Omegaverse into their lore a little bit. So maybe that's when the changeover happened, when you kind of started merging those subgenres.
That makes sense, because I don't read a ton of Omegaverse.
Because
and I haven't read a ton of nodding.
And we have a vampire book coming up in 2 weeks. And I'll be interested to see how the lore is in that one. You know, because if you look at things like the Sookie Suckhouse series, like, you know, they basically had to pick to change them to vampires or they could drain them. And so, you know, it's that, you know, what's the lore going to be like in the Samantha Whiskey vampire book? Is it different? Is it going to be in line with the Sookie Suckhouse? Or are they going to sparkle and be weird like the Cullens of Twilight?
And I'll be in the same boat as you in that one. I have not read that series, so I have no idea going in. So,
well, we're starting with book one, so we're safe.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
I think that's sort of the fun of this. It's like that it's not, you know, like if you read like a hockey romance and then we say like, oh, well, like there are specific rules around hockey, right?
Right.
Or football or baseball or whatever. There aren't really rules. Similar to like mafia, like everyone's world is different a little, right?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because you basically do have to take each author as its own entity, and you can't. So I think that's something that's interesting too, is I think it's very hard to compare paranormal to paranormal. Like if you like Susan Wright, you know, you will absolutely love Carrie Ann Ryan's Aspen Pack. I don't know that to be true because the lures are different.
Yeah.
So, and I find that a little interesting too, that there's just a uniqueness to these stories that we don't necessarily get in contemporary romance.
There's also a very large spectrum of dominance in them.
Yeah.
Like it's anywhere from like slightly to a lot.
So this book didn't have a huge power dynamic because they were both alpha male, alpha female. But do you tend to see some power dynamic between hero and heroines within the wolf shifter romances, Amanda?
You do in some, and it, like you said, it really depends on the author. In Nick's book, Nick and Shia get together in the first Mercury Pack book, which is like the one after this one. So he's very alpha, she's submissive, but she's submissive in a different way.
Okay.
So it's, so she's, so I think she's half human, half shifter. So like there gets to be all these other, like there's all kinds of dynamics, but there are some books where there are big power dynamics. So if you get like an alpha and a submissive, or an alpha and omega, in the second book, like even like the betas are still pretty strong in most shifter romances because they're the second in command. And so like you get into that dynamic in Dante's book, which is book two. So again, it, you know, it depends on the author.
Interesting. Does anybody else have anything else they want to bring up about this book?
I think we really haven't talked about how much sex they have. And I okay. think that
let's talk about that.
I like spicy, and this was the right amount for me. Like, I was down for all of it.
I was on chapter 18 at a soccer game, and I'm like, my God, oh, yep, there's, okay, we're just going to skip all chapter 18.
Do not look and over my shoulder.
Yeah.
The Seriously, worst, yeah. These people were horny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I really did that moment where he was like, I'm going to distance myself. And he's like working in the office and trying not to touch her. And then just one little thing set him off. And he's like, come on, let's go. We got to go. And I thought they were just going to do it right there in the kitchen.
Wasn't that his birthday, though? Like, that was another. We don't always get birthday sex in books.
Yeah.
Actually, not very often.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And yeah, it popped often.
Yeah.
There was a lot of popping and humping and stuff.
I mean, I think the first time I read it, like until I got like past it, I thought they had sex on like the dance floor at the club until I realized it was like everything but when they first like pretend like they realized they were true mates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is this very common for her books, Amanda?
Yes.
Wow.
Heather is adding every single one to her Kindle right now.
Yeah, I think maybe there are maybe like a couple that don't, just because of how the story plays out, but not very many.
Every book of the week from now until like November, Heather's going to be like, Susan Wright, PNR.
Yeah. And I mean, this is probably one of my favorites, so...
I think PNR, that's a thing. Like they like they can't, it's the scent. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's also funny because like the other pack members comment.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like after even, that like, first the... night, he's like, I heard Dante's it was good like... for you because can hear it through the walls.
Right. Oh, and I like the fact that he like marked her up like right out the gate and she wouldn't mark him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty good.
I really liked that actually because I liked that she kept her individuality and was like, I'm not there. You got to earn that. And he wanted that.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be marked and bitten and all the things.
Yeah. That's the turning point for their like relationship then.
Right.
Yeah. When she finally does.
Yeah. I did like that piece of, you know, her imprinting saying, I love you, and how it was done. And she's like, I know you're not going to say it back. The emotion was even there's all this humping, like people are doing it left and right. I like that we really got true emotion and connection. And you must really have liked that, Jenny.
Yeah, I did. Because, I mean, there is some of those sex scenes are like, if you just read the sex scene out of context, like it would be a little like, is this consensual?
Yeah.
So yeah, I needed that like bond.
Right. But as I was reading it, I did think about that with Jenny because, you know, Jenny doesn't always love a hornier book. She likes the slower burn with the true connection. And the fact that they had this like strong force between them, that bond pulling them together, that connection, I kept thinking, why doesn't Jenny read more PNR?
Because not all PNR is that way.
This was like,
I need someone to screen them.
So could someone please screen? Well, if you follow Just Behind Heather, I think she's planning on doing that for you this month.
Trust me, I am on Jenny. There's a couple books. Yeah. And basically, if Kelly Fox writes it, Jenny and I are like,
oh yeah,
yep. I read that one quick. Yep.
You guys are so funny.
I think that their connection, it's like an immediate too, and I think Suzanne does a really great job of like showing how they both were fighting their connection. Like they saw each other as a means to an end, but really they both were very connected to each other.
So in contemporary romance, instant connection is often kind of shit on, right? Like people don't feel it's believable. It's not real. But if you don't have that in PNR, it kind of would mess the lore up, right? Like there has to be some kind of instant bonding.
There has to be something underneath for them to, you know, want to be together, because ultimately, I mean, their goal is to mate. I mean,
it's very animal husbandry type vibes.
Yeah. I think the difference is with PNR, the instant connection is actually like the instant a connection is talked about as being like deeper on the front end. Whereas like instant connection, a lot of time is just like a lusty bout of hoardiness that turns into more.
That is a great out of context quote. A lusty bout of horniness.
Yes. I'm writing this down.
Might need a sticker.
And like there's not really like anything deeper up front. It's just like attraction and sex, and then something usually happens. Like a lot of them wind up turning into one night stand, like or like pregnancy romances that like forces the connection to be more, or like forces them to face it. So it's like it's not just necessarily like an instant connection piece that I don't like in contemporary. It's usually like the subsequent tropes where it's like they're limited in the external forces that can push them to be together and actually like take that connection to the happily ever after.
Yeah.
So usually it's a little bit more like, to me, clunky and not something that I enjoy as much. Whereas like in paranormal, there's a lot more going on outside of just their dynamic that they have to overcome together.
Yeah.
So like while it is they're very much instant connection books, I think it's done in a different way where there's not always like, I'm not saying there's always a pregnancy, but there's like almost a good portion of them wind up being that in contemporary, which is why they're not my favorite.
Yeah. And I think that's why I like prefer instant connection and like romantic suspense.
Yeah. Right.
I think Lindsay, you're probably the same.
It's that forced proximity piece.
Yeah.
It's a or little more danger. Easier. Yeah. The outside
shared
danger.
Trauma.
Yes.
Stacy says, I would have skipped some of them if I was eyeball reading the end. I was like, really? Again? There's a few minutes left. Oh, I must bring this up. He doesn't use lube. No, do not give me your bullshit that we don't know if they are just extra juicy people or werewolves.
It's not bullshit. I'm just saying I cannot think of a single paranormal romance.
Where they use it.
Then they don't care about their partners, is what I'm saying. Unless you write into the lore that they are extra moist type people.
I mean, I think that's fair because he definitely like puts fingers everywhere.
And he's a beefy boy. They talk about how big he is and how big his fingers, everything are. It's not kind. And she was not in wolf form. So it was human space. I don't know. Be
and
kind.
She can't heal herself.
Oh, yeah, she can't.
It did not seem to be a problem, though.
No. I don't think she had any problem, even though she protested a little.
I'm just saying.
It was just for show.
I think wasn't it later, like multiple times, like, I don't know how to say this.
That he did some prep work, you mean?
Like, that was their second go round. So there were fluids around.
Oh, it was already.
I don't know how to say it.
There's already lubrication of some kind.
I mean, and I was like, I think I believe the one time.
Form term is like cream pie. So
okay. What? I could have lived without that ever coming out.
I'm just telling you.
I just didn't hear.
She's right.
I just didn't hear what she said.
I'll tell you later. Okay. I got looks from production. And Heather.
Are we breaking the rules?
I'm sure we are at some point in this thing. We've broken rules.
I'm trying to be good.
I mean, I don't think anybody's watching us play.
The poor people of YouTube that have had to be like stuck watching this through.
Stacey knows.
Scissors.
Yeah. That's not the kind of pie they were talking about.
No one was talking about Little Debbie's.
Oh, God.
Heather is losing it. Okay. Let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay.
Before the guy YouTube is like, these ladies gotta go. Amanda, I'm going to ask you anyway, because we all know the answer. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Heather, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And this is a thumbs up for me, too. I really enjoyed it, even though it's pushing. I like that it's pushing me outside my comfort zone. I think I'm really excited the most for this month is that it's really pushing me outside of what I typically read. And I did enjoy it. I just, you know, just a couple of little things because, you know.
Yeah.
Lack of lube is a problem.
That's going to be the title of your review if you leave one.
There we go. Yeah, there you go. If you liked this book, what other PNR shifter romances would you suggest someone try out? I do like Carrie Ann Ryan's Aspen Pack, but I'm a Carrie Ann Ryan stan. She writes it. I read it. So I'm not sure that I'm, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you like this one, I mean, just continue on. She goes through all of the members of the pack. Like I said, Nick gets his own pack. There's also, she goes a little crazier with the Olympus Pride and their like palace cat shifters and wolverines and like all different kinds of animals. If you like the crazier animals, I would suggest Shelley Laurenston, any of her books. Like she has a whole series of badgers. They're much more like crazy, comedic, very funny. They're also they do it a lot in those. and then if you like the way the emotion and kind of like the packs are set up, I would say Nalini Singh's Psy Changeling series, like the early books are very similar to this. And then probably Danica Dark's Seven series. It's like seven brothers in a pack. A lot of those are really, you know, the heroes are kind of like alpha and like, but a lot of good emotion, a lot of strong heroines. So those would be all my recs.
Anybody else have any Wolf Shifter PNR recs?
Renee Rose actually has some shifters, and her and Vanessa, they all have like a series together.
Shelley Lautenston has a shifter hockey player that have their own league.
Yeah, that's also Shelley Laurenston. She's the one who does, like, she has the Badger. That's the one I recommended, like, the Badger series. They're really funny.
Okay.
They're very funny.
Lindsay, do you have any?
Yeah, so for this book in particular, especially with the strong female lead, I recommend Rabid by Ivy Asher and Raven Kennedy. So she's in a similar situation in that book, the female main character. She has a... I would say a problematic wolf, similar to the latent issue, whereas she is rabid. She is feral. So she's shunned from her pack. She has a very abusive pack. She winds up in another pack that's like notorious, like the leader is very notorious for being a brutal leader, kind of similar to like Psycho Boy thing with this one. So there's like some parallels, but the story and the lore is very different. But I really like that book. And it's a pretty book.
So. Yeah, I have that one on my list.
Jenny, do you have any recommendations? No, same. Okay, so be sure to tune in on Sunday as we are going to dive into books that are perfect with the Fozy.
Cozy.
Cozy fall vibes. I have been reading. I have found some cute ones that are perfect for like fall, spooky season. And then don't forget to join us next Wednesday for our next Sip and Discuss episode, where we'll be chatting about Captive of the Horde King by Zoe Draven. You can find the current... What?
I'm so excited for that one. Okay.
I think there's tails in that one, right? They have tails. I think they have tails. You can find the current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring more exciting content to you every week. Okay, I know you lost me for a minute there on the video. That's okay. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me tonight and reading Feral Sin.
Thanks for reading it with me.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.